Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of 1 Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in 1 Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way in which you should go. The first part of the psalm was me speaking to the Lord. Now here's the Lord speaking back. I will instruct you, son or daughter, and teach you in the way in which you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which has no understanding, but must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they would not come near you. Lord, let me be with you and hear your still small voice, that you don't have to yank the reins and the bit in my mouth. Just with the word, I'm able to hear you and then do what you say. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Oh, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous. That's you. And shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Glory indeed. Back to 1 Kings. Well, that's not what our boy here is doing, is he? Verse 11. Then it came to pass, when he began to reign, as soon as he, Zimri, was seated on his throne, that he killed all the household of Baasha. He did not leave him one male, neither of his relatives nor of his friends. That's a whole lot of death. And remember, those dead bodies that were in the city, the dogs got them. And those that were in the fields, the birds got them. Verse 12. Thus Zimri destroyed all the household of Baasha, and according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke against Baasha by Jehu the prophet, for all the sins of Baasha and the sins of Elah his son, by which they had sinned and by which they had made Israel sin, in provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their idols. Now the rest of the acts of Elah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Israel? Now what's going to happen to this guy? Zimri, what happens to the rebellious leader who murdered the previous rebellious leader? Any guesses what's going to happen? Verse 15. In the 27th year of Asa, the king of Judah, the southern kingdom, Zimri had reigned in Tisra for 7 days. And the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. Now the people who were encamped heard it, said, "Hey, Zimri has conspired and also has killed the king." So all Israel made Omri, the commander of the army, king over Israel that day in the camp. Then Omri, how long do you think he's going to last? Then Omri and all Israel with him went up from Gibbethon, and they besieged Tirzah. That was the capital city for the long time of this northern kingdom. And it happened when Zimri saw that the city was taken, he went into the citadel of the king's house, and he burned the king's house down upon himself with fire and died, because of the sins which he had committed in doing evil in the sight of the Lord, in walking in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sins which he had committed to make Israel sin. The people refused to be led by him, so Zimri is fired. You're welcome. Verse 20. Now the rest of the acts of Zimri and the treason he committed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? Then the people of Israel were divided into two parts. Half of the people followed Tibni, the son of Ginath, to make him king, and half followed Omri. I wrote in my margin, rebellious Israel has embraced rebellious leader after rebellious leader. Is it any wonder that even now they are divided? Do you guys understand that when God is doing something, God's heart is family. God's heart is wholeness. Whenever the enemy's been at work and has had any success, I want you to notice something, that he divides. God puts the fatherless into families. Remember Jesus on the cross, and he sees his mom, who must have just been beside herself with grief, seeing her beloved son being violently ripped and torn and scorned and spat upon. And yet our Lord, knowing the broken heart of his mom, he says to John, John, behold your mother. And mom, behold your son. What is he doing there? He's leaving his mom with a family. The best families are always made around the foot of the cross. Don't know what your family was like. If you had a great family and wonderful parents and great supporting cast, praise God. But if that hasn't been your experience and there's been challenges and violence and hurt and pain, come to the house of the Lord. Fall apart a little bit in honesty and worship with the Lord. And I pray that as some of you were praying and kneeling and some of you were laying hands on, oh, loved one, did you feel the wholeness of the body of Christ up here tonight? Yeah, humans will do what humans will do, and there's the whole gossip challenge. And just understand, when the enemy is in it, it'll go like this. When God is in it, it goes like this. It goes like this. You guys, don't ever forget, I pray, the sense of God's presence and feeling tonight when the body of Christ was being the body of Christ. And whenever the enemy is in it, it smells a lot like this. Divisions. Polarization. It's us versus them, or me versus them. When you see it, when you sniff it, when you smell it, please understand that is so not the heart of the Lord, as being demonstrated right here. Not only is Zimri fired, they're all dividing now against the different administrations. Verse 22, but the people who followed Omri prevailed over the people who followed Tibni. We're for Omri. We're for Tibni. We're for Hillary. We're for Trump. Whatever it might be. By all means, be educated in the political races that are happening right now. It's real important. Please, may God lead you to do your homework. Find out those who still believe in this beautiful Constitution that God gave us. And please work against those who aren't for the Constitution, etc. By all means, be a part of the political discussion. But don't be the water cooler person that digs and jabs at the other guys. Verse 24, and he bought a hill of Samaria from Shemir. Remember what happened. The palace was destroyed. He bought the hill of Samaria from Shemir, verse 24, for 2 talents of silver. Then he built on the wall, and he called the name of the city which he built, Samaria. This is where it comes from. After the name of Shemir, the owner of the hill. As I said, because Zimri had burned the palace, Omri looks for a new place to build. Now Samaria becomes the capital of the northern 10 tribes region. It's always a good idea when you're looking through your scriptures, have your Bible dictionary close at hand. If you don't have an actual book, online you can go to blueletterbible.org. blueletterbible.org, or eSword, and you can call up these verses and click on tools next to the verse, and there are all of those words. If it's Old Testament, there it will be in Hebrew. If it's the New Testament, there it will be in Greek. Find out what the words mean. Invariably, people's names and the names of places, armed with the proper knowledge and understanding of what they mean, it's amazing what stories the Bible tells. And here's no exception. Named after this guy, Shamir. You remember that? Shamir is Hebrew for on the lees. L-E-E-S. What are lees? When you're making wine and you squish your grapes, you know, and the juice comes out, you have a series of filters. Your first squeezings, the blend, the thread count of your cloth is loose, and a lot of stuff gets through that first squeezing. And then there is a second squeezing and a third squeezing, and each time the thread count of the cloth becomes more and more tightening up the little holes. So by the time you get done with your last sort of squeezing, then that's what you're going to let ferment for a while. And no matter how good you do the squeezing, especially in these days, and how fine your filter is, you're always going to get a few of the little stuff at the bottom. Those are called dregs, but also called the lees. When you let the fermentation process, let it roll. Don't grab the wine too soon. Let it rest in the lees. That was the best of the best of the wine. And on the lees became synonymous with a word of chill. Relax. It was the picture of complete peace and contentment. So, what's the capital of the Northern Ten Tribes region now? Samaria, named after this guy, named after Shamir, which means peace, the city of peace. What was the capital of the Southern Two Tribes region? Jerusalem. The city of peace. Can you see what's happening? How many of you want the city of peace that the humans build? How many of you want the city of peace that the Prince of Peace builds? It's quite a little juxtaposition. There's man's best effort of one rebellious leader after another. We have the city of peace. Come hang with us, and you'll be rocking in peace like we are. Say the rebellious. Yeah, don't do that. Verse 25. Only did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and did worse than all who were before him. For he walked in all the ways of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. None of these guys are learning from the predecessor. And in his sin by which he made Israel sin, provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their idols. Now the rest of the acts of Omri, which he did, and the might that he showed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Omri rested with his fathers and was buried in Samaria. And then Ahab, the son, reigned in his place. How many of you have heard of Ahab? He is the worst king Israel will ever see until the Antichrist, that the nation of Israel, in their spiritual blindness, will hail as Messiah. And to a large degree, Ahab also models, in my opinion, the Antichrist, especially when we get now, next week, chapter 17, when we see that Elijah, and how Elijah has supernatural provision. I think that Elijah serves nicely as one of the supernaturally preserved 144,000. Remember, Elijah is a real guy who really lived, all that is to be sure. But I think he stands for a lot of things, because as we're going to see next week, God tells Elijah, you have to tell Ahab that he really has blown it. And it's not going to rain until you, Elijah, say so. And then split, get out of there. And then he's going to hang by this little wadi, this little seasonal brook called Cherith. And he's fed there by ravens, Baltimore ravens. It's pretty awesome. And then he's told to hang out in the hometown of Jezebel, and some wonderful, miraculous things happen. And I think this may be a picture of what it might be like for those that become saved in the Great Tribulation period. See what you think next week when we get to chapter 17. But back to Ahab, verse 28. Omri rested with his fathers and was buried in Samaria. Then Ahab, his son, reigned in his place. And in the 38th year of Asa, the king of Judah, there in the south, Ahab, the son of Omri, became the king over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. This is one of the reasons why he serves nicely as a model of the Antichrist. Verse 31. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as his wife, who? Jezebel. Arguably the most wicked woman of all literature and historical note. Jezebel. Dun, dun, dun. The daughter of Ethbaal. Do you guys remember Baal? Is he going to cause problems for the people of Israel? She is the daughter of Ethbaal, which is probably not his real name, but it was probably his title. And look at her. He was the king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshipped him. The king of Israel, seriously? Ahab marries a non-Jewish wife. Were Jewish kings supposed to do that? Nope. She'll become the most wicked woman in recorded history. Already worshiping golden calves was Israel, as if that's not enough. Now she is going to introduce Baal, the rain god. He's the head of the Canaanite pantheon of gods. He's sort of the big bopper of all the Old Testament ne'er-do-well gods, little g. He's the chief deity of the Canaanites. He's the son of Dagon. Dagon was the big Phoenician and Philistine god. And why God drove those following Baal from the promised land. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, God tells Israel through Moses why the Canaanites are going to be displaced from God's land. Because of the awful things that they did. And Baal was a big part of that. And here comes Israel, open arms. Yeah, let's do some of that. How was Baal worshipped? He was worshipped by sacrifices and illicit sexual fertility rituals. Always, Baal was always a powerful lure for the Jews away from their holy God and their strict moral code. Verse 32. Then he, Ahab, set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built there in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all of the kings of Israel who were before him. And in his days, Hiel of Bethel built Jericho. Or you should say rebuilt Jericho. He laid its foundations with Abiram, his firstborn, and with his youngest son, Segub. He set up its gates according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. What's this reference to? Right in your margin there. That's Joshua chapter 6, verse 26. I'll read it to you. After Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Actually, did Joshua actually fight that battle? God did that. After that, Joshua 6, verse 26, after the walls fell and after Jericho was captured, then Joshua charged them at that time, the people of Israel, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city again. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates." And that was prophesied all those years before, some 500 years before the events that we're looking at here today. Why was he doing this? Didn't he have a copy of the Bible laying around? He sure did. Didn't he know Joshua 6, verse 26? Especially when he starts naming his construction crew, you lay the gates. Hey, Dad, look, here we are. If we do this, aren't we this in Joshua 6, verse 26? Is this ignorance of God's plainly revealed word? Or is it willful contempt for God's word? Does it really matter? What's God going to do? And before we sort of cluck our tongue at those wackadoodles, America, what we are doing as a culture, what's been happening and what our Supreme Court has been deciding and what our elected officials have been steering this country towards more and more. These next elections are so crucial. America, are we ignorant of God's word? I don't think so. Or are we in willful contempt? I think we're in the second group. And of course, you all know it, but I want to read it one more time. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Go ahead and close your Bibles. If my people who are called by my name, notice he doesn't say Democrats or Republicans. If Washington, no. If my people, who is that everybody? That's us. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I hadn't planned on going where we went in worship tonight. But in hindsight now, some of you did exactly this. Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive the Democrats and Republicans and U.S. foreign policy and economic plans. I will forgive them. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Don't stop praying for this country, and don't stop praying for the leadership here in America. It sure looks bleak, I know. But when we get to a guy by the name of Jehoshaphat, we get to a couple other ones, Josiah, and we get to some of these others, when it looked like it was curtains for Israel, I want you to know something, that God stayed his hands of judgment because a few of his kids repented for their sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, your tender mercies with us tonight are still with me even now. Just the peace, Lord, the gratefulness of my heart, of your forgiving of my sin, Lord, and how much grace you show me. And then, Lord, how you move tonight in our worship time, in our prayer time, and those that came forward and poured out their hearts. They are exactly who 2 Chronicles 7:14 mentions. And so I pray, Lord, before we as Christians, and especially we as Harvest Family Fellowship, don't let us get caught up into the quick witticisms and easy humor at the expense of the folks in political office or running for office. Help us to realize, Lord, that what you said is to pray for those who are in authority over us, that it will go well for you, and that you may live quiet and peaceful lives. Oh, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that every one of us does our own homework, that we get educated and we understand what, they don't have to be necessarily Christian candidates, but which of the candidates represent the ideals of the Constitution of this land, and those that have any sort of moral center, and those who have a track record of doing what they say. Oh, I pray in Jesus' precious name, senators and congressmen at the state level, at our federal level, we lift up our president, we lift up all the presidential candidates, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name, Lord, may there be one more move of your spirit on this land, please. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.
You've been listening to the book of 1 Kings with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.